What God is going to do, the world has never seen in the future. You listening? The world thinks they have everything under control. They have a surprise coming. And it's going to be a great one. And so I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 15. When we look at these verses, I want you to think about this thought. Our God knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. That's it. That's true of Foothills Baptist Church. That has been true from the founding of it. I know that you're aware of this, but the determined will of God in past eternity determined that there would be a Foothills Baptist Church. And so it was founded. And God is very, very specific when it comes to church. I'm talking about the church that he says he will build. And God never fails. People fail, but God does not fail. And sometimes men get in the way and they become a problem to God, and God in his grace is so wonderfully good. Sometimes he has to remove those men. And we see the various stages of what God does from the past in Genesis up and to through today. We are blessed abundantly in this room today. One of the things that has happened is that we have gotten to the place where we have in many cases lost our compassion. Now I want to tell you something, folk. If that is your case, will you get alone with God and get straightened out on that? Are you listening? And some have compassion making the difference. If a child of God does not have compassion as well as passion, he's in a sad state. When folks who once had it have lost it, they're hardly aware of the fact that they lost it. When you have it, you know it. When you lose it, often you don't know it. So you must be very careful that you guard this matter of compassion. You see, this morning, I love you. Some of you I do not know, some I do. But I love you. And I don't care whether you like it or not. I don't. I'm still going to love you. And you'll have to work awfully hard. I mean, you'll have to work awfully hard to upset me. I'm not easily upset. I'm just not. Now there'll be a few things that would upset me. I mean, somebody, they sent me a letter and a phone call, a church in California, and they wanted me to come and candidate to be a pastor. And so I said to my wife, I said, well, what do you think of that? And she said, well, that's okay as long as you let me do the preaching and you do the song leading. And I said, yeah, wait a minute. So I decided not to be a pastor. And I have remained an evangelist. And I've learned some things being 85 years old. Now I've learned that no matter if you make a face at me, throw something at me, I'm still going to love you. You know why? Because whether you like it or not, you and I are going to spend eternity together. Now, then, by a change that's greatly needed in some, we won't have any misgivings with each other. Nothing. Everything will be perfect. I mean, I entertain this thought. To sit by the river of life and just sit there and just eat as much chocolate as I want to. You know, that's almost, not quite, it's almost as thrilling as when the day I got married. I mean, I honestly love chocolate. Now, I don't eat much of it now because I've prayed for an extension all my life and all I've gotten is expansion. And so, you know, I'm stopped in the middle of the stream. But anyway, I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. So I want you to watch closely now in this Exodus chapter 15. And I want you to see from verse 20, and I'll read. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. That is not ballroom dancing. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath, notice, triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink in the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people, now I want you to see this word, murmured. That has an ugly sound. Murmur. And they, the people murmured. Against who? Moses, God's representative, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, Moses, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Keep in mind the fact that they murmured against God's representative, and notice that Moses did not debate with the people. He immediately went to God. Now we'll pray. Father, please help us. We are so blessed abundantly. This is such a special day after 20 years. And the faithfulness of yourself, the awesomeness of yourself, to keep intact Foothills Baptist Church, and to provide for these people, this church, this assembly, a man called Bruce Miller from Nebraska to Colorado with the dearest wife that one could possibly have. This morning, when we look at these verses, we want to be very careful that we're accurate. Help us. We so desperately need the help, yours. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord can take the bitter experiences of life and make them sweet. Let me just make this little statement that's a clip. One of the most serious problems in any good local church today is the matter of bitterness. It's a proven fact. It's true across the country. May I say to you that if that is your case, get alone with God and get rid of it. Because there's not a person in the room, nor is there a person anywhere who sins, but what it's going to affect others. And if there's bitterness left unchecked and uprooted, it will produce defilement in many, many people. There's nothing like it. Nothing. So God in His wonder can keep us sweet. Can keep us sweet. Paul told the Romans that the Old Testament records were written for your learning, Romans 15:4. And he told the Corinthians that they are written for our admonition, 1 Corinthians 10:11. And this book, this blessed, inerrant book, is a lamp and a light. And the instructions are perfect. And they're sufficient. But this morning I want to give you four guidelines applicable to the 20 years. And then looking forward to the future. There is a purpose. God always has a purpose. Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth his own life and is not just a frolic, but it's just my life is, it's not a hop, skip, and jump. You know, I'm old, but I don't feel old. Honestly, I mean it. I don't feel old, I don't think old, but I'm old. But I also know that even though I be old and have had some experiences, that my heart is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked. And who can know it but God? So I want to be very, very careful about the way I live. I mean, I have to understand that all the way through my life, from the time of birth until now, it's a training period. It is. It's a schooling. When you have trouble, let me suggest this. Look around. You're not the only one. Someone said, be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. You see, not only one where the peace of God is existent, but you have your Bible. And there's absolutely nothing with a printed page in the whole universe like this Bible. Now you missed your cue because you all should have said amen. That's right. There's nothing like it. Nothing can compare to it. So you have the peace of God and you have your Bible and you have your teacher, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy One, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he never makes a mistake in his teaching. And the scripture says he'll guide you into all truth. That's rather complete. And so you have him. And then you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's none other than not only your Savior, but your elder brother. You really have it made. And so do I. And if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding and in all my ways acknowledge him, then he shall direct my path. See, the first three is that's your responsibility. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not down under thine own understanding. But the fourth one you can't do, and God will do if you'll do the first three. And he shall direct thy path. His guidance being perfect, you won't make a misstep if you're right with God. And it would not matter how many times the devil puts all kinds of stumbling blocks in front of you, God will turn the stumbling blocks into stepping stones. That's God. He is concerned about each of us. He doesn't deal in this audience today collectively. He deals with you personally. Every individual, he deals with you personally. I mean, I really, whoo, this is great. And I know that as soon as I'm disobedient, it's still great, but I need to get straightened out. Huh? Class. Yeah. And so, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, knowing that there is a purpose on the part of God, wonderful purpose, nothing wrong with it, no reason to gripe, don't ever find fault with God, but what happened to God's people in the passage we read? That was not by accident. That was by purpose, the purpose of God. God led them there. He led them forth by the right way, Psalm 107:7. And Marah was God's choice. Here is a purpose and a meaning. I mean, for the child of God, nothing is without purpose. Did you hear me? Nothing is without purpose. And with that being so, all the way through the leading of this man, prior to moral, in moral, from moral to Loveland, himself, his wife. If you think for a moment that the pathway has not been difficult in some cases, ho-ho, think again. There have been some days when the day was dark, dark. The sun was still there, but the clouds covered the sun and it was dark, and the anxiety of things that went on and people in their failure and a man and his wife, a man of God, looking forward to whatever God wants and being faithful to the word of God and to the will of God and to the work of God. has come to this day, 20 years, and praise the Lord for full salvation. God still sits upon the throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone.
That's right.
So it's all intact. Therefore, I want to be sure that I understand. See, Moses, he told God's people, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years into the wilderness. For what reason? What purpose? Oh, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Deuteronomy 8:2. What a difference between battle-tested veterans and green troops. And God's purpose is not personal distress. He loves us too much for that. His purpose is growth and development and an experience that is full of not only training, but blessing. And the lessons and the classrooms vary. I mean, it's the shaping of the spirit and of the mind and the body. And we're created. Hear me now. We are created to be victorious. Oh, yeah. Not defeatist. And so we, in our dependence upon him, the fact is, we'll only continue to be the land of the free and the home of the brave as long as we seek our God over everything. Folks, America's on the edge. There were two great awakenings in history. The second one was much more profitable than the first. It may be that with all of what's happening, these fires, terrible, the loss, homes, lives, terrible. The floods, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. The events that are birth pangs before the rapture. Could it be that God wants to get our attention so that we are not guilty of syncretism? Say, what's that? It's a combination of putting the evil with the good. And that's happening all over our country today. And we quote it, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We quote that. But oftentimes, we don't live it. Do you know that when this church was founded, and up and through this day, this church God said he would build. And he hasn't quit. But his people, if they're going to agree with God, don't go to a ball game instead of coming to church. Hello. Hello, hello. And they don't choose other things that turn out to be a lack of support for the very church that God said he would build. He wants to be right with God, his wife. They want that. But God wants not only them to be right. He wants me to be right. He wants you to be right. Amen? Class. So this purpose of God, but not only is there a purpose, there's a peril. I mean, you and I must be aware of the peril. We must run surveillance. We must live with an investigative nature so that evil does not catch us unawares. There are all kinds of people that are giving up their faith. You say, are they saved? Well, how would I know that? I do know this. He that loveth me, he it is that keepeth my commandments. I know that. So facing this peril, there's a tendency proven here in the text to act rashly, immediately. No water? Murmur. What are we going to drink? Excuse me. He's still on the throne. Yeah, he's still there. And he's still able to supply all our need and often our wants. What a wonderful, wonderful God. And so God's people griped and they complained to Moses and the leader who was a target, which proves that man's inherited nature is lacking. It is tainted. And the word murmur is made up of two sounds. We murmur instead of trusting God. We act like babies. Wah, wah. You say, wah, wah. And how sad, because this really is like the mutiny on the Bounty. You talk about the blessing of God being bountiful. Boy. And we gripe. Why? When we have a perfect Savior and a perfect teacher and a perfect Creator, and they've given us a love letter, a work manual, the breath of God, the heart of God. What have we got to murmur about? No matter how long you live. Don't gripe. Griping will never be tolerated. Constructive suggestion appreciated. Amen. So here you have these people But now I want you to see something here. In the previous scene, you see Miriam. And she's leading God's people in a dynamic song service and filled with joy and praise and expressing themselves in music and dance. And Miriam urged them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Exodus 15:21. And the Red Sea had become and had been a great victory. Now, the very same people that saw the victory, they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're griping, they're finding fault with. In Acts 13:17-18, he says that God, in this people of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an almighty arm he brought them out of it, and about the time of 40 years suffered he saw their manners in the wilderness. And you talk about bad manners. So often the people acted spoiled like belligerent children. Wah, wah. Amen. So I see that peril to complain, to gripe, to find fault with. I really appreciate more than my words can express, Pastor and Pastor Dan. Somebody criticizing my own pastor in the foyer. And he went on and on. I didn't say anything. I didn't act rashly, though I was tempted. And when he took a break, I said, "Are you finished?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, could I tell you something?" I said, "I find no fault. I find no fault. I find no fault with my pastor." He said, "How come?" I said, "'Cause I'm not looking." When you look for the blessing instead of the weakness, you don't develop bitterness. Huh? So, Paul said that Abraham's faith in God was being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Romans 4:21. And that conviction takes the baby out of us. That removes the wah wah, the murmur, and the ship won't sink as long as the Savior's in it. And he has committed himself to keeping us. So the purpose and peril. But there is a precept. The right way to handle bitter experiences, the right way is expressed in one word. You will certainly agree. One word. Pray. That's it. That's the way you handle bitter experiences. Pray. 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 And you go to God quickly. You don't wait. And that's what Moses did. He didn't debate with the people. He went straight to God. He committed the whole matter to God. Simply he said, "God, this is your business. What are you going to do about it?" This is like the pilot who seeks guidance from the control tower. You place your trust on the one who has all the answers. Moses didn't panic. He didn't resign. He knew where to go for help. David knew where to go. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46, 1. And God's word is filled with examples. I mean, Hannah, she went to God and she got an answer. Hezekiah had the experience of bitterness and he was taken back because of a threat on the part of the wicked ones. And what did he do? Oh, he took the threat in paper and he went to the temple and he took it out before God and asked God to give him the victory, and God did. Every time that you go to God, you have not made a mistake. You always have made the right choice. Daniel, he was accused. He was found fault with. There were all kinds that wanted to destroy him, but they didn't, only because of God. And therefore, God calls us and he solves the problems and he sends us and he directs us. And in Gethsemane, our Lord prayed. And so the tree that we talked about here, that's the provision. So you have a purpose, and you have a peril, and you have a precept, and you have a provision. And that tree turns the bitter to sweet. There is one tree on earth that bears a fruit most precious, that's most satisfying, that's more complete than any other, and it's the old rugged cross. That's the tree. And its fruit is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 23:5 calls the Lord Jesus Christ the righteous branch. And Peter said that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Bitterness disappears in the Savior. Men like Wycliffe, Huss, Cranmer, they sang God's praises while the flames scorched their bodies. And it's better to get alone with God anytime, all the time, tell Jesus, and he will listen. And you and I had better listen as well. And without the Savior, there is nothing to drink. There is nothing to eat. There is nothing to be joyful about, no satisfaction, no victory. You face the tree and you'll see that he cares about you more than you will ever know. And that tree is the turning point in history. And that tree brings sweetness to all who will come to Jesus and receive him. The tree is the symbol. The person is the Savior. And bitterness is always washed away by the Savior, and sweetness comes in its place. And this man, faithful, this woman, faithful, God has given great blessing, and the past has rolled by, and never mind about the trouble. Think about the blessing and what God intends to do. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future, and the same God holds your future. Let's pray. Our Father, we are absolutely blessed beyond measure. It is most unfortunate that sometimes we allow our vision to be clouded. This grand audience today has come because a man has been faithful and a woman has been faithful, and they are here to honor, but they're also here to give you thanks for having brought the Millers here and kept them here. Thank you.